Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Are you prepared for the zombie apocalypse? In case of emergency, break glass and tune in to Joy 94.9 on a Tuesday night for Sci-Fi and Screen.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream.
Oh, I almost didn't turn the mics on. I was singing to that.
Yes, it was. That was a little bit of a different intro. I'm Dean, and we have...
I'm Avi, and welcome to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Dean and I are sitting in for the lovely Sonia.
Yes, we're back in the booth again. And
we are.
And we thought, why not have a bit of a fun, crazy little off-the-wall intro? But I didn't realise it would get so crazy because Avi knew it all off by heart.
Well, yes, I do. It's the only way I know my geography. So my boyfriend is a geography nut. He gets atlases for his birthdays and things like
that.
Seriously? And he can name all the countries in Africa because I know this because I tested him once. In geographical order, it was quite remarkable. And the only way I know the countries of the world is because I memorized the Animaniacs song.
Yes, was it Yakko's...
It's Yakko's World.
Yes, Yakko's World from Animaniacs. It was
indeed
great. Right, I did enjoy that series. So we're having a little bit of a off-the-wall music, off-the-wall fun tonight on Sci-Fi and Scream. Kicking off with something a little... Well, we both went and saw Iron Man.
We did. Iron Man 3.
Didn't we? Iron Man 3.
We should be specific. It's Iron Man 3, the third installment.
Yes,
post-Avengers.
Yes, is it the last installment of Iron Man? That's the question.
Well, it was interesting because obviously, so Jon Favreau was the original director of the Iron Mans, and he doesn't direct this one. He's in it, but he doesn't direct it. Which I thought was interesting and telling, quite frankly, because the differences in the original Iron Man were interesting from a directorial point of view. Though
absolutely.
I did quite like Jon Favreau's character.
Oh, I agree. It was a very different story, you know. And I think for the third part, if it is a trilogy, if it goes further, if it doesn't, I think it was a really, really. And now we've got to talk about it without spoiling it.
Yes, we do.
So we want to make sure we do that. But everyone was a little concerned. I think they thought we were going to be focusing in the third film on the Demon in the Bottle storyline, which is actually from the comics, which is when Tony Stark became an alcoholic.
Right.
And it had all this darkness to it, and all the previews were quite low and intense, so we thought maybe that's where we were going. Now, I love that the movies haven't really touched on that at all and haven't bothered to delve into it, because we can hardly skim over alcoholism in a really quick way, but also it's something that, you know, a lot of kids are enjoying to watch, and you've got to really make sure you handle that message in a smart and fun way. But with the movies, with this one especially, I really did enjoy how much it was about Tony.
I was actually going to say, it's interesting when you get a superhero movie, and I'll use the blanket sort of, or maybe a comic book transfer movie, if you like.
Let's use that.
That actually does character development.
Yeah,
you know, because
that's
comic
true.
Books have a long time to do character development. They have books and books and books
years.
And years to do it. And movies tend to have to take, you know, when we look at a transfer of a particular comic or a particular character even, they have to take almost this tiny vignette out of a massive canon.
Yeah. And really make it work.
And make it work and make it believe. Again, I use the word
believable. It's true. Like, to make us really care about these characters, care about what's going on, and actually be convinced by the action and the emotion. I mean, look, we had Avengers and that had aliens and all of those things, and those themes still tie over into the Iron Man movie. And if it wasn't believable on some level, I don't think people would enjoy it as much.
Yes, and what interested me about coming off the back of Avengers is that, of course, you had the amazing Joss Whedon, who is one of the great sci-fi character builders. If you look at the characters that he builds in predominantly in his TV series, of course, Buffy and Angel and Firefly and, you know, we're not going to mention... that other one, Dollhouse.
Why not?
Well, because I...
Because you didn't like it. No, I enjoyed Dollhouse. We went through this last time on the show.
We did. I enjoyed Dollhouse, but I didn't think it was as strong as his other work, in the sense that it's difficult to build characters if you keep changing them week after week.
I know, but that's what I enjoyed about it. Like, there was a level of experimentation to them, and I think people get used to the Whedon way of things and they just get comfortable with it and find that in what they're watching, as opposed to just letting him tell the story he wants.
Sure, and I certainly think it proved that Eliza Dushku could actually act when she put her mind to it.
Oh, you didn't think that was true? Come on, she was amazing in Bring It On.
No, I'll give you Bring It On. She was the poo. No, but the interesting thing, I was to take it back to Iron Man.
Yes.
It was exceptionally well done that this was a movie all about Iron Man,
yeah,
but not about the suit.
Exactly. And that's a really important thing that I think has been done really well with these films. I mean, it helps when you've got an actor like Robert Downey Jr. playing the role of Tony Stark, but it's not like these other characters like Thor, who's a god, or Captain America, who's this living embodiment, or Batman or Superman. Essentially, Iron Man is a rich dude in a suit. And they've managed to still be three films in and still tell that well.
And oddly make him sympathetic.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's not easy. Even in the comics, that's not an easy thing for them to do. Like, in the comics, it all depends on who's grabbing him and reading him, but it is not an easy thing to handle. And they do it really well.
And you know, the I was struck, the other thing that struck me about Iron Man is, while the action pieces that are in the movie are phenomenal.
Yes.
And the directing of those action pieces was incredible.
Fantastic.
The quiet moments
were really good.
Were really good.
Do you know what disappointed me with it, though? And once again, we're not spoiling.
No.
I feel like Robert Downey Jr. has such a huge chunk of the movie that every other character just isn't given enough. I feel like, what's her name? Who was Pepper Potts? Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Could have, if she was just given a bit more meat to play with, it would have been fantastic. You know, just to play around with and do more with, it would have been absolutely great, but we weren't that lucky. And she hasn't been. Her character has been a bit of a sideline character in relation to Tony Stark and how he feels. And she's just had to bounce off that. And I just really wish that they would let the other characters in Stark's universe evolve a little bit more.
Though I was quite impressed with her acting in this. You know,
Gwyneth gets... I'm not saying it's not good. Look, to be honest, Gwyneth, look, there's a lot of stuff she's done which has just been really irritating.
Yes.
You know, there is. But when she's given a meaty role, she works it brilliantly. I just think, unfortunately, I don't know whether it's been the way the directors have directed her, it's just poor choices, but she's still done some great stuff. You see the potential of what she can do, and with what she does with Pepper, like, even in those couple of scenes she's in the Avengers film, she's great. She's in jean shorts, which no one understood, but she's still fantastic. And you just go, okay, like, she has a lot to work with this character when the right people use it. Like, Joss Whedon had her in one massive scene, and it was fantastic. And it was what I wanted from Pepper Potts, and it was what I enjoyed. And it didn't allow, and she wasn't swallowed by Tony.
I was also quite impressed that, coming off the back of Avengers, which was a massive movie.
Huge.
Huge movie. It also, oddly enough, managed to balance the Avengers fairly well.
Yeah,
that you felt that they got the appropriate amount of screen time each.
Yeah.
I was very worried, coming back to the first single character movie.
Yeah, of where it was going to be.
Yeah. And look, I must admit, they obviously mention the so Iron Man 3 takes up after the events of New York of the Avengers,
and essentially, yeah, like, Tony Stark can't sleep after everything that he's experienced, and that stems us into this story. And I thought that was great.
Did you feel that was not, that was a button that wasn't pushed a little too much in Iron Man 3, though, that they kept reminding us of New York?
I don't, only because I think it was really important to remind us of the man in the suit. I think it was really important to distinguish between these huge, fanciful things that are going on, and not let it just get out of control and become this whole wham, bam, biff thing.
And it's interesting because that you raise that, the man in the suit. What I think they didn't give enough screen time to is Don Cheadle in the other suit.
That's always going to be the case, though.
No, I know, but...
Rhodey's always going to be a massive second string.
But if you're... Again, no spoilers, but if you think about the themes of Iron Man 3 and what they were trying to portray about the difference between Tony Stark the man and Iron Man the suit, do you not think that a focus on...
Here's the thing, though, okay? And here's the thing with Don Cheadle. Mm. He's amazing, but he isn't in these films. Let's be serious. Don Cheadle is a brilliant actor, but has his roadie really been that exciting?
No, but has his roadie been on screen for more than about 30 seconds at a time?
You know what? You can have a person have a small amount if they've got the right thing to work with, but roadie is second fiddle. Roadie is nothing more than that. Roadie is a good mate, but roadie will never be point.
No. I think it could have been
more, but... We're not watching a Iron Patriot / War Machine film. We're watching Iron Man.
So this, I will say, it does give me way more optimism for the next Thor Soldier. What? Winter Soldier? What's it called?
The Darkness?
No, it's Star Trek Into Darkness is that one.
No, it's also The Dark World.
The Dark World, okay. What's Winter Soldier then?
Winter Soldier is Captain America number 2, which, yes. Can I tell you right now, is the most amazing comic book story that it returned me to loving Captain America, which I never really enjoyed. But the story that reintroduced the Winter Soldier was absolutely fantastic, and I can't wait to see that play out in film.
Yes, and I will say we're going to wrap it. I think we should wrap up
Iron Man.
Yeah, I think we've waxed on about Iron Man a little bit too much, but I it does give me a lot of hope for the next Thor and the next Captain America movies, because they managed to do the shift from Avengers to a single character movie really well.
Yeah.
I'm just disappointed we're not going to get another Hulk movie at this point.
I think a Hulk movie would be good, but we don't necessarily need one yet.
Okay, now you are on Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9.
Welcome. This is Davros welcoming you to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. Listen or be exterminated.
You're on Joy 94.9. This is Sci-Fi and Scream. For tonight's performance of Sci-Fi and Scream, the role of Sonya will be played by the delightful Dean R. Curry.
And the role of... I don't know who will be played by Avi. I think Sonya has lots of arms and does it all together, and it's all a little bit crazy.
That, of course, was Seal's Kiss by a Rose from Batman Forever.
From Batman Forever, and, you know, a good shout out to Seal, who I'm sure loves listening to Joy.
Yeah. Between him and Heidi.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. What else is a model? What other radio station is a model going to listen to?
It's true.
Okay, so let's go from Iron Man the movie to... We spoke last time we were on about Free Comic Book Day.
Yes, this past weekend was Free Comic Book Day around the world on Saturday. It's the first Saturday of May every single year. It's a special day in comic book stores. Basically, in participating stores have free comics, and all you need to do is stroll on in and grab some. It's a really fantastic day. The energy is really great, and if you're like me, you dress up in costume.
Now, if you went out on Free Comic Book Day and you picked yourself up a new book, we would love to hear what you picked up and what you thought of it. It wouldn't be a Dean R. Curry outing if you didn't get into some form of Lycra.
I was in a brilliant outfit.
I have seen the outfit.
I actually even on Saturday during my Free Comic Book Day came into Joy and strutted around the studio in my outfit. I was in skin-tight Lycra, a silver skin-tight Lycra bodysuit with a television on my head that had pictures of gay porn on them.
Now, for those of you who are listening...
That's a comic book character, people. I'm not just making this up.
If you were listening to us the last time we were mouthing off here late at night on a Tuesday, you'll remember that we talked about the controversial comic that Comixology said Apple wouldn't allow, and Apple said
saga.
Comixology, the whole thing. And so Dean decided to take a leaf out of their book, so to speak.
I dressed up as an extra gay Prince Robot 4 and strutted around Melbourne. And it was really fantastic. Like, two major comic book stores here in Melbourne, everyone really got into it. Classic Comics got an Adventure Time theme, and all the staff were dressed up, and it was really fun. And All Star Comics Melbourne actually had an artist alley next to the comic book store, and they actually had had all the staff dressed up in an X-Men theme. And what was great about that is they had about six or seven staff members dressed as Madrox, the multiple man who can replicate himself. So they were all just in the same T-shirts. And it was really awesome. But it was fantastic. Both stores had artists, and there was an artist alley up near All-Star. And they had artists all day. And it was just fantastic to see people going and dressing up and enjoying it. I saw a lot of fantastic costumes, not just the guys in the stores who did fantastic jobs, but I loved seeing kids dressed up in their little Batman or Superman outfits. Did you guys see any outfits on Free Comic Book Day?
Yeah, so if you saw it, did you see Dean? Did you Dean spot, because he would probably be hard to miss, but if you saw any outfits that you thought were particularly good, I have a question though, because obviously the comic from which your costume came is targeted towards adults, and you went out in public in that outfit. What was the reaction?
Do you know what? The reaction was absolutely fantastic. Last year I was dressed as Tigra from Marvel Comics, so I was dressed as a woman. And it was during a Richmond footy game, so that was a little bit irritating actually, because people wanted to pose with me during the game.
Yeah.
But it was absolutely great. Parents would joke that it's not family friendly, but everyone was just having a laugh about it and having a good fun time with it, which was really, really great. A couple of people actually yelled out Prince Robot 4, and I was like, you are the most awesome people ever, that you actually get it. It was just lots of fun, and that's the thing with dressing up in the costumes. It's just fun to know that the parents, even though I did have, you know, I had no revealing gay porn on my TV screen face, but I had enough that you could kind of tell what it was. Kids couldn't tell what it was, but adults could. Right. Kids were asking, and I told them to ask their parents.
That's a question for mummy and daddy.
I have some interesting news for you, Arby, that's just been sent through to me from Nathan from Watch a Podcast. He actually just happened to mention that they are having a Hulk movie in the works.
A citation needed, to quote Wikipedia.
Well, I haven't had time because we've been on air to really go through and read the article, but there is a rumour of after Avengers 2 that there is going to be a Hulk film.
Yeah, no, there was a rumour.
And that's Planet Hulk, which is a fantastic comic book story. But more importantly, there is a Hulk TV show currently in production for next year.
Yeah, but it's not Mark Ruffalo.
Of course not. He's not going to go from movie. Oh my God, let me go and do a TV show on Fox.
No, but okay, so that actually brings me to another topic of conversation that we're not going to squeeze in, but I'm going to broach the subject now because you brought it up first. TV nowadays. We've got a lot of new shows that are pure fantasy, historical fantasy, semi-fantasy, medieval fantasy. And I'm looking at things like Game of Thrones, obviously, is the big one. When the American ambassador has to come out and tell Australia to please stop downloading their show, you know that it's a good show and people watch
it. It's a fantastic show, let's be honest.
And, you know, I mentioned my lovely boyfriend earlier, who, bless him, is a Atlas geek, but he doesn't like fantasy movies. He didn't want to come and see Iron Man with me, for example.
I don't understand.
Deal
breaker, call it off.
But when he's around at my place, the first thing we have to do is watch the latest Game of Thrones.
Well, it's awesome and it's sexy and it's great. I'm a sword swallower from way back. And if you haven't seen this week's episode, you won't quite know what that means.
I haven't seen this because he hasn't been around yet.
Brilliant. I'm finally up to date with Game of Thrones. I've actually been behind on everyone and I kind of sat down and caught up and all in one night, in fact, and oh my God, I forget how much I love that show. It's just wonderful.
But do you think it's interesting that there is, you know, it used to be that science fiction shows were properly science fiction. I say that for
Because that what you mean with the whole space thing.
Yeah, well, you know, we used to be familiar with the Star Trek.
I think you've got to start saying science fiction fantasy, by the way.
Science fiction fantasy, yeah. But it wasn't. They portrayed themselves not necessarily as fantasy. Fantasy, historically, in television has been of the comedy variety, and I'm thinking of things like Sabrina the Teenage Witch and Bewitched, and anything that went into the magical. Even Charmed was a bloody comedy, because seriously, nobody took that seriously. Okay.
Thank God.
Anything with, you know, Piper Perabone. But I'm seeing now we've got shows like Da Vinci's Demons, which has just started, which bills itself as a historical fantasy, which has elements of the mystical in it. But how much of that is the times, how much of that is, you know, a lot of what, because it's the story of, it's the retelling, the reimagining, if you like, for want of a better word, of Leonardo da Vinci's beginnings as an artista in Florence under the Medicis.
Okay. Did you say artista?
Artista.
Okay.
Yes,
is that a word?
That's a word. That is what he's
called. Okay, I would have just said artist.
No, he's the artista. That's what the Medicis call it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are elements of the mystic in it. But you wonder, are those meant to be fantasy, or are they just the projection of science in the times of the Medicis?
Well, have they explored that further?
We're on episode three.
So we wouldn't even know yet.
We're brand into it. Brand spanking new. We've got shows like Greg Berlanti's Arrow.
Yeah, okay. Arrow I can talk about.
Let's talk about Arrow after we hear from a couple of our sponsors. You are on Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Sci-Fi and Scream with Dean and Arvi, filling in for Sonia.
Yes. Now, Arrow.
We were just touching on Arrow, weren't we? So many things to touch.
John, yes, I will touch on Arrow anytime he likes, quite frankly.
So, well, you were talking about how the use of magic and mystical in television and how it's kind of becoming the norm.
Not the norm necessarily, but it's mainstreaming in the sense that it used to be that you had to go and watch a magic show or a sci-fi show to get your geek on. Now okay. We're seeing shows that are bringing the suspension of disbelief, if you like, as a trope into television. Things like Arrow, where they made an interesting decision. I'll go back. Supernatural was probably the first big one, because, of course, that's the origin story of Superman. Smallville. Not Supernatural, Smallville.
Smallville.
And the rule on Smallville was you would never see him fly.
Yep.
Which was an interesting choice to make.
I think not till the very end.
Yeah. With Arrow, one of the things that Greg Berlanti is doing, I don't know how long he's going to be able to sustain it, but certainly so far in the first season of Arrow, is there no supernatural heroes.
Yeah.
So if you consider the characters from the Arrow universe, some of whom in the comics are supernatural,
yeah,
they're not in the television show.
Which is good. I mean, it really worked for Smallville, and it grounded the series a lot more. And really, Smallville jumped to the superhero-ness of it all when it moved to him interning at the Daily Planet, and he moved to Metropolis and all of those kind of things. And when it delved more into the mythos of Superman, that's when it took on the other superheroes. But that was also a make or break moment for the show.
Yeah.
It had just been dragging along. So it was people were leaving and they needed a bold new direction. If Arrow goes in that direction, I think it will end really quickly. And I think it's really smart that they're making that choice to make it about his character and the drama. Do you know what is a bit ridiculous? Channel 9's advertising for Arrow. Have you seen that?
No.
Okay, it makes it out like it's a drama. It doesn't even handle any kind of superhero element. I just don't understand. People would be tuning in to watch that show thinking they're going to see something completely different to what they're going to see, because it's still quite superhero-y, even though it's not Biff Bam Pow-y.
Yeah, but I think one of the interesting things that they are doing with Arrow is that they're merging the cop procedural, if you like, with the superhero. So you do have a show that you could potentially watch.
Yeah, but it's not CSI in Smallville. Do you know what I mean?
No, it's not CSI in Smallville. There is an overreaching arc. There is a bigger story. But at the same time, this is not something that you need to know the mythos of.
No, which is good. Like, I think it's been a very smart move by DC. An Arrow movie certainly no one would care about, but it's going to be really interesting to see where the end of the season goes. It's certainly working with the characters and characteristics in a fun and interesting way. Whether it can hold that out, though, we're just going to have to wait and see.
We are. Now, it also raises, and we were discussing Iron Man 3. We tried again to get somebody on to talk about Star Trek Into Darkness, because some people have seen it, but no one's interested to talk to us this late at night on a Tuesday. So we are. Hopefully, eventually, Dean and I will see Star Trek Into Darkness and we can talk about it ourselves. But we're talking about something. I went to go and see Iron Man 3 with a dear friend of mine named Jacinta. And we were sitting in the movie theater, and she was telling me about something called the Bechdel test. Now, this is something that was named after an American cartoonist, Alison Bechdel, who basically said, are there more than two named female characters in a movie? Do they have a scene where they talk to each other, where they talk about something other than a man?
Yeah.
And that creates the Bechdel test. And we actually sat there while we were waiting for the, you know, curtain to go up and the lights to go down and that sort of thing. And you think about the movies that we're now getting, the superhero movies, the sci-fi movies. We were trying to determine which of them actually pass and which of them fail. Iron Man 3, after we finished watching it, actually passes.
Because of that scene.
Because of the scene between Pepper and the other woman.
I can't remember her name. But it was really interesting the way that they didn't in any way, shape or form play up any kind of girl fightness or claim to Tony or anything like
correct.
That. I think that was quite smart and made for really, it really took the characters to another level, which was quite good.
But we then tried to think of the other movies, you know, you look at the big, big sci-fi or fantasy movies that have come out over the last couple of years, all of the Lord of the Rings movies fail hopelessly.
Well, are there any scenes with two women in them?
No. You know, they're just...
Two hobbits, sure, but not two women. Two trees, yeah, but not two women.
Yeah. Avatar has four named female characters, but they never talk to each other.
Well.
Except to talk about Jake Sully.
Oh, okay.
The man. So...
I haven't seen Avatar.
Oh, I love Avatar. But I love it in a tragic kind of... I love Avatar the same way I love Titanic. In the sense
Harvey,
that... Harvey,
stop. What? What are you talking about?
I
explain yourself to me right now.
Because, first of all, both Cameron.
Okay.
And he does do a giant movie very well.
Okay.
He can direct... When I say it, I don't mean epic in the sort of Ben-Hur style epic, but epic in the sense that the set pieces are massive and the choreography of the direction is big. You have to think in very, very large scale for these movies. It's something that, Peter Jackson got right with Lord of the Rings, but not so much with The Hobbit, I felt.
Haven't even seen that either.
Okay. If you look at the scope of Titanic and the set pieces of Titanic and the way that movie was built, and you look at something like Avatar, which was built really big, he handles it very delicately.
Yeah.
Something that Spielberg can actually do fairly well as well when he puts his mind to it. When he doesn't, no.
Do you know what? I keep feeling like this test is like the Bechamel test, like the sauce that's in lasagna.
No. But there are other movies that you think would pass but don't. You know, Star Trek, the J.J. Abrams reboot of Star Trek doesn't pass.
Well, because there's not two women.
And even Uhura, when she has a conversation with another woman, she's talking about Kirk.
Yeah.
You know.
As she should. And then she could go and get the phone in her little skirt.
Yes, well, there you go. She can answer the space phone. But I find it interesting, you know, Buffy as a show, which was meant to be, as opposed to monster kills blonde girl kills monster,
yeah.
You know, the reversal of the trope. Even Buffy doesn't pass the test as often as you think it would.
Well, no, I mean, I guess Buffy would kind of fall into the same category that Charm would be, and that was just always the banter of the characters. I think it's hard as well within something, the way the banter of Buffy worked. It's certainly always led to those kind of conversations or having those drop comedy moments in the scripting that would always tie back into a boy or something like that. So, but is it, my question then is it okay? Is it all right to have to? It's interesting when we're looking at female characters and we're looking at strong female characters, and we're in a really interesting time where we've got a lot of superhero movies and we've got a lot of things like that. And horror is coming back in a really big way. There's Living Dead launching tomorrow night at Cinema Nova. So you're going to have girls in peril running and screaming, being cut up by chainsaws. You've got lots of big, strong male superheroes, not female ones. In fact, there's been a bit of buzz on the internet in the past week about Wonder Woman and do we really need a Wonder Woman film. And I found that really interesting because I certainly think there's a place for Wonder Woman in the superhero world that we have. We've always had the great series starring Linda Carter. And it's just interesting about whether we need to have two female characters. Is it okay for them to just talk about guys? Like, I actually think in relation to the character of Captain Kirk, I think it's important when you've got the two women talking about that.
I don't disagree, but I think that if they're going to do a Wonder Woman movie, I want her to be a I want her to be Ripley.
No, I don't want her to be Ripley. I want her to be Wonder
sensibility,
Woman.
Well, I want her to be Wonder Woman, but in the sense that Ripley as a strong female character is a strong female character. And oddly...
Here's the thing, but can and it's interesting that you brought up the Buffy universe. When it comes to a strong female character, you're implying then a strong female character can't have that male emotional attachment to a male.
No. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that I would like it if the strong female character's only motivation wasn't a man. There are a lot of times in these things
You've got to give me examples where their motivation is a man now. I'm trying to think.
Or they're talking about boys, or they're talking about Giles, or they're talking about, Xander, or they're talking about...
As opposed to talking about what?
Well, it's interesting that Buffy does pass. I mean, there are lots of episodes of Buffy that do pass.
Yeah.
But they're, you know, we looked at Firefly... And that passes more often. That actually has some really nice, strong female characters who have their own progression and dynamic that is completely separate.
Okay, but here's an interesting point. Yeah, it is. But in relation to Firefly, the subtext of men is always there and that they're actually talking about men and it's overshadowed with it all. So that doesn't get a part of it?
No, because in Firefly, it's also about how, you know, they're orienting themselves in their universe. We take the universe as written. In the sense, you know, we...
So why isn't that the same way in Buffy?
Because Buffy's more overt.
Okay.
Buffy, by and large, it's like, you know, we were joking about surely Sex and the City with four female main characters that has to pass the test. And we thought, no, they only
but
ever talk
they
about
ever
men.
But talk about men and sex and
so,
things
you know,
like that.
It's like, oh, no, that's never going to work.
But can a strong female superhero character or science fiction character, this is what I want to know. I want to hear from you guys out there. Yeah. Can a strong female character stand alone without a man in her life, or does that help create dimensions to her? What do you guys think?
We want to hear about the ladies, in particular ladies who love ladies, and the ladies who love ladies in spandex.
Who doesn't love ladies in spandex?
But I am interested to know what the ladies feel about the portrayal of... you know, the standing joke of what we think of Batman and Robin.
Yep.
Okay, the boy wonder or the girl sidekick. Is there space for those characters? Because, you know, one of the things that we were talking about, we talked about Iron Man, but we didn't, in a spoiler-free zone, I didn't want to talk too much about... character
changes. Our original intention on tonight's show was to actually talk about the Mandarin. Now, we don't want to spoil anything, but this was originally how all of this came about, but we were always concerned about spoiling the film for anyone who hadn't yet seen it, so we were trying to figure out how to do it, and somehow we ended up in this wonderful world of Sci-Fi and Scream that you guys have found here tonight. The interesting thing about the way in which they did the Mandarin is, when is the Mandarin not the Mandarin? And that's really a really interesting way in which they played with that in the film.
And my question, particularly to our lovely listeners out there who can text in or email us, because they are making subtle or overt changes to characters when they transfer them between media, when they take them from comics to movies or to TV or something like that, is it okay to beef up the sidekick or the boy wonder? Could you spin off a Robin series, for example? Could you have a television... I'll leave you as this thought experiment. Could you have a television series from Robin's point of view?
I already have my answer, and do you want me to start now?
No, you are on Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Tom O'Panikid, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream with Dean and Arvi. Not long now till the end of the show. You were just listening to We Can Work It Out, sung by Amber Benson and Anthony Stewart Head,
Tony Head, I think he calls him.
Tony Head, as Sci-Fi and Scream fans would obviously know as Tara and Giles from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Now, when we just signed off, Ari put a challenge to me. Arvi put a challenge to me about whether or not I thought we could have a TV series based on a superhero sidekick instead of a superhero. Now, the mistake that Arvi made was to say, could we have a Robin television series? And my answer to that is absolutely. I actually think a Robin television series would be really fantastic. You could still have someone playing Batman, but it would never be about Batman's story and always be about Robin's and having him on his own adventures and living in the Wayne Mansion. I actually think that would be bloody brilliant.
But this is oddly something completely foreign from sci-fi, but The West Wing, which was a remarkable show, was never supposed to have the president in it.
No. But
he became quite a big character, and they had to shift the direction of the West Wing so that...
Well, they did that after the pilot episode, after all the feedback with it, but the intention was never to have President Bartlet be a feature because it was about everybody else. Now, obviously, when you come to a superhero story, additional extra characters get brought into it, and they help to build the central focus. But when the West Wing is something very different, if you had something set in a place, you've always got that room to move, but you can't certainly not have Arrow without a bow.
True, but I mean, Arrow has, you know, if we go to the
I will mention as well, actually, yeah. We did get a message sent in letting us know that, you know how I was talking about the advertising for Arrow and how it just wasn't quite generating? Well, it already got pulled and is going to be moved from Channel 9 to Go.
You see, this is what annoys me. If I can get on my soapbox, it annoys me. I love living in this country and I don't want to live anywhere else, but we don't have the economy of scale to maintain the shows that I love to watch.
No, look, I think it's something as geeks that we just accept. The shows that we love and the shows that we like are never going to be put front and centre. Look, bottom line, even if you look at Smallville, it just kept getting shuffled around. Star Trek, which it has a huge audience base, they know that they can move it to 11 o'clock at night and they are still going to have all those people watching it. And that's unfortunately part of us.
But what gets me is that if there is an audience for this stuff,
yeah,
you know, if you've got the ambassador to the United States coming out and complaining,
yeah, but that's on Foxtel. That's not on Australian free to air.
But and the Game difference of Thrones between, is not on free to air in America either.
But the
it's
difference
on cable.
Between a cable network and free-to-air network is where their money comes from.
Yeah, but if you think in America, Game of Thrones is also on cable. It's on HBO.
Yeah.
So you have to pay to get Game of Thrones in America.
Yeah.
You have to pay
just
to
like
get,
you have to pay to get Game of Thrones in Australia.
True. But we don't have as easy a time getting... And it's only recently that the local... Even Foxtel have been fast-tracking the stuff... So that Game of Thrones, in fact, you know, it's airing an hour or two after it airs in the US.
Which is great.
Which is great now. But I've been complaining, you know, 3 years ago when Game of Thrones started and you had to wait months. There's no way in today's day and age of the internet that I'm waiting more than a couple of hours to watch a television show.
Which is fine and which is your choice. But it brings an interesting thing in relation to free-to-air and paid channels and the way it all comes about. I mean, at the bottom line with free-to-air is it all comes down to ratings and it all comes down to who's going to put their monies in their pocket and be put forward as that. And yes, 9 out of 10 times shows aren't advertised right and they overhype things because they're just trying to get us to put our sit down and make us focus on things. What can you do?
If I was an American content provider, I would provide my content in a legal way that I could access in Australia.
Love, well, that's true.
You know, I'm happy to
pay
for
that would
this.
Be fantastic. What I would love more is if, just like in the UK, there's a certain percentage that must be content from the UK. Mm. I think it's something like... Non UK content, I think, is 10% of all content that is allowed before certain times, which is why a lot of Australian and American shows all get aired after 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they're all on and people stop and watch them, and that's how it occurs. But it forces them to drive and focus on their own content within their own country and to build that and bring it up. We unfortunately don't have that here in Australia, so we end up having stuff that we... all the American stuff that's doing quite well gets put here and it just doesn't hit the right market because we just aren't lucky enough to have that.
And we don't have the scale of the American market.
No, not at all. But right now what's making money in Australian television is things like Celebrity Splash and The Apprentice and all that reality TV show stuff because it's cheap to make, it gets the job done, and people watch it. Unfortunately, when you've got a TV show like Arrow, yes, you've got a portion of people who have already gained access to it and have chosen to watch it that way, and then when it launches onto the screen, they don't watch it. Truthfully... I would have videotaped it and watched it at a different time, and that doesn't help either.
Yeah, I mean, and this is...
Gone are the days of the family sitting around the television going, let's watch something together. That doesn't happen anymore. And yes, you're right. Television stations and networks and organisations should focus their energy the right way, and a lot of them do with, say, like ABC iView or things like that, where you can access the content on the internet later.
But it's not high enough quality.
Exactly, and that's because they're doing short gaps and little steps, and it's not helping us. But, like
it's
I said,
there.
Like with Star Trek and like being a geeks that we are,
yep.
They can reshuffle us around the schedule however you like, and we're still going to watch it.
We are still going to watch it. You are still on Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9. It's time for our last announcements from our sponsors. Then Dean and I will be back for a brief flirtatious chat.
Yes, yes.
You're on Joy.
Hi, guys. This is Eddie McClintock. I play Agent Pete Latimer on Sci-Fi's Warehouse 13, and you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9. This is Sci-Fi and Scream with Dean and Avi.
Time is nearly up, and we actually just got a really great SMS from someone saying to have Robin or any sidekick would be great to see. It might give...
give way for a satirical side of the superhero.
Look, I think actually it would be a much more interesting type of television show to watch when you're looking at things through Robin's eyes. You could have the whole West Wing thing again where, yes, we all know Batman is... Bruce Wayne is Batman, but we may not see him as that. And it really just could do something so much more.
Well, Dean and I are going to go off and brainstorm about that. You have been listening to Sci-Fi and Scream here on Joy 94.9.
I hope you enjoy Star Trek Into Darkness, which launches this week. And don't forget, there's also Living Dead at Cinema Nova.
We're going to go out back to Batman Forever, I reckon.
Yeah, go on.
This is you two. It's holding me, thrilling me, kissing me and killing me. You're on Joy 94.9.
She was a vampire who could never see the light of day.
He was a zombie shuffling his way through the afterlife.
Love would bring them together.
But human flesh would tear them apart.
They were doomed to be on Sci-Fi and Scream.
Tuesday nights from 10 on Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.